You're listening to Spokespeople.
Hi, podcast listeners. This is Becca.
And this is Zoe.
And we co-host the Spokespeople Storytelling Events.
The story you're about to listen to is by the iron-stomached Harrison.
He tells the story of an adventure into the Canadian wilderness that did not go as planned.
My goodness. It almost made me never want to go camping again. I really like camping, though.
No, that you can't say that. I really would like to go camping again at
We're
some point.
We're going camping in like 2 weeks.
Okay, that's okay. Cool. So this story is from our February 2013 show, and the theme was Close Calls.
We were at Actual Cafe in Oakland.
That is true. So, hope you enjoy it.
Our next storyteller for the evening, Harrison, is one of America's friendly northern neighbors. He was a professional musician until he realized that that led to a life of squalor and poverty. Now he's in tech. In Silicon Valley, like everyone else in San Francisco. Please welcome Harrison Dom.
Hello. So my story is a story of type 2 fun, which for those of you who don't know what that means it's not fun in the moment, but it's fun afterwards. Maybe it takes months, or in my case, it took 3 years. So in Canada, everybody is either in Boy Scouts, Girl Guides, or Lumberjack Camp, and maybe that's why three of my closest friends in college, who I was living with at the time, we decided to go on this camping adventure to Algonquin Park. Canada is a little bit different than the States, so that you actually get like real wild wilderness, far from cities and far from roads and whatnot. So we went to this park. In the previous year, we had gone, and it just rained and it was cold. And in boyhood ignorance and youthful optimism, we decided that it would be the same. It doesn't matter what we decide, as it turns out, because the weather has different plans. So it turns out it was going to be like super hot and whatever. But we packed raincoats and we packed sweaters and we packed pants, which is perfect. And so we load up the car. We had gone to like the equivalent of Walmart, and we'd picked up no-name escargot and lots of hot sauce. And those like little wieners that come in cans, you can just eat out of the... I think they're called like Venetian wieners or something. I don't know. But that's because, you know, we're classy. Like, you're four basic food groups with cold cuts. So hot sauce and meat, you know, whatever man needs. And so the year previous, we had gone on a hiking trip. And I guess it wasn't hard enough, so we decided to turn up the difficulty to 11. And so we set out on the trail after we got up there. And it was maybe mid-afternoon when we get going. And immediately we're just assaulted by flies and mosquitoes like the size of your thumbnail, and we're getting eaten alive, and it's driving us mad. But we do make camp that evening after pushing pretty hard, and it's just beautiful. Like, there's a waterfall nearby, and then as the sun kind of sets, like this blanket of stars comes out, and you can hear wolf packs yipping and yapping from across the lake. It's Algonquin is also a wolf preserve, and that will come into play later on in this story. We just pass right out because we're so tired. And so the next morning we get up, and we have to get on the road because today is our big hiking day, but our feet don't want to move because we worked pretty hard the previous day. And so we get on the trail, and then as if in temptation, there's just this perfect campsite on the lake. Like wind-shaped pines, pine needles, waves lapping at the rocks. And we strip off our clothes and go in, and we think that we might spend the night there, but if we do, then that would mean it would be a brutish hike out the next day, which is not something that we want to do because we're already pretty tired, and it's, you know, I don't like work. I'm lazy. I'm fundamentally lazy. But it's there that I discover that my water purification pump doesn't work, and that's to sanitize the water. And you can get pills that do that, but that doesn't change the color of the water. So the purification pump, if the water comes in green, it'll come out clear. With the pills, it'll still look like some gross, like murky tea. And I guess that's what we'll be drinking for the next day, because that's all we have now. And so we're hiking, and mid-afternoon, and it's starting to get pretty hot. And then the bugs come out in a big way, and they're just hungry for man flesh. And so we decided to make the trade-off between, are we going to get eaten alive, or are we going to dehydrate ourselves silly by putting on like every layer that we brought with us, which was thankfully sweaters and raincoats and pants. And it's getting like mighty hot out there right now. So we decided to that this is probably the best thing, so that we're not all scarred and we still come back in one piece. And that's fine, except we don't have a whole lot of water left and my water pump doesn't work. And it turns out there's not a whole lot of water on the trail. But, you know, we'll deal with that later because we're young and ignorant. So my one friend who I was with, Sam, he's starting to get a little bit slow. He's not feeling too well. He's getting nauseous and he has to take off his pack. And we start to carry his pack for him because otherwise he can't move. And he's just falling behind more and more and we're waiting for him. And so we take his pack. These are like 60-pound packs. I don't know if you've ever gone backpacking before, but you have everything that you need. And it turns out that there's quite a bit when you involve like your stove and your tent and your sleeping bag and your thermarest and like all the stuff. So we take his pack and we string it on like a stick, much like how you would carry a roast pig, or as I've seen them carried in the movies. And so we're tired, we're hot, we're dehydrated. And we get to this place called Mosquito Creek, which is about as appealing as it sounds. And it's just like gray, murky brown water, which is perfect because it's water. And I wish my pump was working, but it's not. So we have these pills, whatever. And we have some cold cuts, and it's getting pretty late now. And so we either have to run to the next campsite if we stay here much longer, because it's getting pretty late and we're in a swamp, and being in a swamp at night alone, far from anything, is not fun. Or, you know, we can leave right now and hopefully make it before dark. And so we pack up and we make to leave. And Sam's sitting there with his head in his hands. He can't move. He's weak. He's nauseous. And he turns out okay. He's okay in the end. Let me preface this. But the doctors will later tell us that that's when he had a heart attack. but we didn't know this at the time. We just thought, like, we knew that he had a heart problem, but we didn't know that, like, oh yeah, like he's having a heart attack. So we luckily he brought his phone. That's like probably the most important thing. And so we ran to the top of the nearest hill and climbed a tree, and we got like one bar, maybe like half bar if you average it, of reception. We get on the phone with 911. Call them up. We spent half an hour talking to them. The upshot is that we do have reception. The downside of that, though, is that we are far from the roads and you can't bring an ambulance in and nobody knows where we are. But then the good news is that we're able to coordinate with the Ministry of Natural Resources, and they're able to get a float plane in and they're going to airlift him out. The bad news is that the float plane needs a place to land and Mosquito Creek is no place for a float plane. So we've got to book it to the lake that we're supposed to stay at that evening. So Sam's sitting there, head in his hands. We brew him tea, which is just a fancy way of saying that we boiled the water, the pond water, and it kind of tasted like tea after you boiled all the bacteria. And we mix it with Tang, and it's it was good. It's the simple pleasures. And so Rudy and I decide that we're going to go run to the campsite and try and flag down this float plane, which is supposedly filled with medics. We're then going to carry Sam out on a stretcher. And so we set off. The problem is, though, that it's about an hour and a half away. And if we miss this plane, you know, we're out of luck. So as we're running to the campsite and the lake, we hear these float planes overhead, and we're just like, oh, please not this one. Please be a little bit late, because it takes longer than you'd expect when you are tired and you're carrying a lot of stuff. And so we get to the lake, and I had kind of suspected that something was going to happen that day, so I had stuck a bright orange tarp in the top of my pack, and so I just whip it out and flag down the float plane, and they're able to land right on top of us, which is a really cool experience. And then these... And then these five guys hop out with a stretcher, and they set off back down the trail about an hour and a half to pick up Sam. And Rudy takes him to where he is. And so now I'm alone here, and I probably have like 3-4 hours being alone at this campsite. And so I get my girlfriend at the time on the phone, and I tell her, like, oh, you know, like, we had to lift this guy out. Like, things aren't going so well. Didn't have a whole lot of time to talk because the battery was about to die. And then, this is all unknown to me, she calls up Sam's girlfriend, and she then tells all of his family, which is spread across the States and Canada, and there's, like, this massive panic attack, like this continental panic attack. And then we, once we do get back to the car, we do make it out alive, you know, but once we do get back to the car, you know, our inbox, our voicemail inbox is just filled with like, oh, is he okay? Let us know what's going on. And so, you know, I get off the phone, and then I set up camp, set up a fire, and then I sit and wait, and it's getting pretty dark. And when it gets dark in the forest. And I hope that they make it out all right, you know, but, anything could happen. So I go back out to the trail and I'm calling them. And then eventually I kind of hear like their distant voices calling back to me, which is the most satisfying sound in the world. Cause I know that they're alive, which is sweet. I like it when my friends are alive. And I only have a 2-man tent. So I like to be self-contained. So I had a 2-man tent with me, and they had split the 3-man tent up by themselves, but we were all just too tired. So we, you know, we open up the escargot and we bathe it in hot sauce and fry up some cold cuts because we're classy. And then we throw the food back into one of the backpacks and toss it up into the tree. With camping, you don't do that. That's a terrible idea, because if you just have like a pack lying in a tree, then anything can come along and eat it. Bears, squirrels, whatever. And it also smells really delicious for all these poor, starving animals. So we're going to bed that night. And I'm a little bit concerned because I remember my Boy Scout training fairly well. And so we're going to bed. And the previous night, we had heard these wolf packs from across the lake. And this night, we hear wolf packs. However, the wolves are right on the outside of our tent, howling at us because they're hungry. And I kind of turned to Rudy, and I'm like, did you bring the hatchet into the tent? Because that could probably be useful if this turns into Gray, that Liam Neeson movie. He didn't. So we just prayed that we weren't going to die. And then we went to bed. Even hungry wolves couldn't keep our exhausted in every way, spiritually, emotionally, physically, everything. Couldn't keep us awake. And so the next day, we were on a mission. That's when like the survival instinct takes over, and it's just like, I don't care what happens, like I'm gonna make it out of here. And we pass like these smiling couples and these groups of friends, and we're kind of jealous, and we're like, yeah, let's do this again, but we'll not hike. We'll just carry the booze in. We haven't done it again because it's type 2 fun, and only a couple days ago it decided that it was fun. But it's a long hike out, and we finally do emerge from the forest with haunted eyes, and our arms are up in the air, and we're half naked, and we're just cheering as if in victory, and everybody in the parking lot like is like, what's up with those guys? Like, what? And so some lessons if you're going to go camping. Number one, know your medical history. And maybe don't push it if you have a history of heart problems. Number two, take a cell phone. And number three, I don't know, stock up. Like, don't eat just like escargot and a hot sauce, because that does not come out well. Thank you.
Harrison, I'm personally like, I have like so many questions, but like the first question that I can't really get my mind around is, you said the phrase "no name escargot," like is that just like, there's so many escargot choices in Canada, and you just went with like the basic camping one? Is that what happened?
Can I reply?
Yeah.
So we have this store called No Frills, and that's.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Right? Okay. Someone knows what that is. That's like Foods Co., I think that is. Where like everything's just in cans. And it like they make their own stuff, I guess. I don't know. But it's all in cans and it's all in yellow cans. And like even if you don't have money, like you wanna eat, you wanna be fancy sometimes. So, you know, but I don't know if it was actually escargot. Like
just something
to put in your mouth. Heyo.
Okay. One more round of applause for Harrison.
Thanks to Harrison for sharing that story and to Actual Cafe for providing the space.
I will never eat escargot again.
Never, ever.
I've never actually eaten it already, so it's not going to be a big loss to me.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Audio production for this podcast was by Ian Ratzer, with content management by Sarah Bars and photography by Chris Koster.
Music for this podcast was by First You Get the Sugar.
If you liked this story, join us for our monthly live show in the San Francisco Bay Area.
Or visit us at spokespeople.org. That's spokespeople.org.
And you can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
We chirp sometimes.
Sometimes we tweet. Sometimes we chirp.
Sometimes we sing. No, bye.
Okay, bye.
Bye.